This message is brought to you by 12 Stone Church. Pastor Kevin Myers delivers the teaching entitled, The God Who Celebrates. This is the fourth message in the series, Great and Awesome. Should you need additional information, please go to 12stone.com. There you will find many resources in the Watch a Message section, including this teaching in both audio and video formats. There is also an extensive archive of past teachings. We hope this serves you well. Please enjoy.
It's when everything is broken that God speaks the loudest. And even then, His voice comes in a whisper. He starts with the one, the lone pioneer. From the one He calls the few. From the few, He calls the many. In one hand a shovel, the other, a sword. To protect what we build, hold fast the hilt. We work in dirt and stone, in hearts and souls. Sometimes God calls us to build with shovels. Sometimes He calls us to build with swords.
So welcome to 12 Stone across the nine campuses for our final week of the Great and Awesome series. This is going to be a defining day, and we're going to enjoy this. Let me start with some questions. And by the way, if these questions apply to you, either in the past or present, you just go ahead and join in, put your hand up. We'll know across campuses that this is connecting. That makes sense. For example, how many of you have ever been or are weary from your work? You've ever been weary in your work? Hands, yeah, see? In fact, some of you are right here. You're like, oh, no, I'm really. How many of you have ever been tired of parenting? Come on, just own it. Kids, if you're watching, this is what you do to us. How many of you ever been tired of your marriage? Do not put your hand up. Do not put your hand up. No. What you're supposed to do is start doing this and say, not me. This is not marriage breaking. This is marriage. This is the moment where you look over at your spouse and you say, I never get tired of you, baby. Go ahead and deliver that. I never get tired of you, baby. See, that's just a building moment together. How many of you have ever felt like just the gas tank of life has hit empty? I mean, you just know what that's like. How many of you have ever felt fatigued in your faith? I mean, even your faith, your walk with God, I've been fatigued. My hand's up. Jesus talks about it. Jesus says it's going to take endurance to win this race of faith. Paul is explicit about it in Hebrews chapter 12. You don't have to turn there. I'll just read a segment of it for you. In Hebrews chapter 12, in verse 1 and following, he says, let us run with perseverance. See? Perseverance is required because you're going to get tired. You're going to have weariness on the way. So let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, this faith race. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. On who? Yeah, sure. In fact, I'm just going to just put his name right where it belongs. We're going to fix our eyes on Jesus. And he literally says in the next line, who is the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. And it goes on, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him, Jesus, who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. See, you can be at risk of growing weary and losing heart. In the best of life endeavors, we can all hit seasons where you grow weary and lose heart. And that takes us all the way back to Nehemiah, the story we've been in for this whole series. Take your Bibles and turn with me all the way back to the book of Nehemiah. We're at the end of his story, but we're going to pick up on page 479. Nehemiah chapter 4, page 479. We'll be in chapter 4, page 479, Worship Center Bible, right underneath your chair. You have a Bible of your own. It's Nehemiah 4. Now, we have already touched base on the preceding of Nehemiah's story, knowing that 140 years before Nehemiah, the walls of Jerusalem had been torn down. They were in rubble. And Nehemiah discovered that God rebuilds broken things, huh? God rebuilds broken people, too. That's what we're discovering in a new way in this great and awesome series and in our great and awesome vision. And that since this God can do that, and God put on Nehemiah's heart to rebuild the walls, just like God put on our heart to rebuild the lives of people by his strength, of course, and his hand, Nehemiah discovered when he went there that they're going to have to pick up a shovel and work at it. They're going to have to draw a sword and fight for it. It doesn't just happen. And that there would be times when they would lose strength. And Nehemiah would often pray, oh, God, give me strength. In fact, Pastor Kevin Queen last weekend walked us through a great teaching on the power of prayer. If you weren't here for that, go listen to it. Powerful. It's going to help you. And then we come to the end of the story. And at the end of this story, there is a huge aha. Nehemiah reveals a cycle of insight that in this cycle, it teaches you how to win in life, in business, in sports. I'm telling you, when we walk through this, you'll see it's how you win in your faith. It's how you win in your personal family. It's how you win in a church family. So I'm going to walk you through the cycle. Then I'm going to apply it to life experience. And then we're going to unpack it and apply it to great and awesome and 12 stones. So let's go. I'm going to take it to the board. And as I take it to the board here, you might want to jot some of this down in your notes. There's no particular place for it. I just want you to draw out the cycle with me. Here we go. The first word I'm going to set here, or right here, is intense. Say it with me. What's the word? It begins with intense. Now, what's going to happen is it's going to cycle to another word, and then it's going to cycle to another word, and it's going to cycle back around. And Jesus is at the center of this, and this is a cycle that we go through. And it begins with intense. And here's what I mean. When Nehemiah got the sense of God calling him to go rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, his life entered into an intensity, a demand. It was 4 months during the first chapter of prayer and fasting before he ever talked to the king. You may not even know how the timelines work. But it was a long period of time. Then he went before the king. He asked for freedom. He asked for favor. He asked for resources. He got those. But then they had to spend a fair amount of time just organizing the whole thing. And there's going to be a massive caravan and soldiers and all that would need to pack it all the way to Jerusalem, which was over 500 miles away. I mean, it's a long trip. They had stops along the way, like to the forestry. So this is 6 months, 8 months before they even get there. This is all intense. He gets there. He looks over the walls of Jerusalem, and he realizes this is going to be more work than he thought. And then he gets the people gathered together, and they all agree, let's do this good work. But he's got to organize the whole thing. And then for 52 days, they work until they complete the wall. I mean, he has been at this, and while they're working to complete the wall, you're sitting in Nehemiah chapter 4. Look at verse 10. Here's their experience. Meanwhile, the people in Judah said, the strength of the laborers is giving out. See, that's what happens in intense times. The strength is giving out. And there is so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall. That's what you feel like when you're in an intense time. Every endeavor, every career, every business, every sports team, hey, listen, every marriage, every family, every church has to learn how to navigate intense times. And here's what I mean by intense times. I'm not talking just difficult. I'm talking purposefully intense times. Intense for a reason. And here's what it does for you. It empties your tank while it fuels your future. You got to write that down. What's happening during an intense time? It empties your what? Tank while it fuels your future. What you're doing is you're exhausting yourself today because you're preparing yourself for a future. That you can imagine and just apply it in days when you were going through education, or maybe some of you are. You're doing your college years or your master's or your residency. You exhaust yourself in that season, but you're preparing for a future. That's what they were doing. They had spent 6, 8, 10, maybe 12 months in intense season rebuilding the walls and gates because, listen, they needed walls and gates in order to have a future. There are things that you chase and invest in, and they become intense because you are building a future. And that's true for everybody in life. Now they complete it, and Nehemiah does something incredibly smart. He stops. He what? He stops. He says, all right, we're done with intents, and we're going to celebrate. We're going to what? Are you kidding me? We're doing the work of God. And we're going to what? We're going to stop, and we're going to celebrate. And he invested immense amounts of time, energy, resources, money, people in order to celebrate. It's an incredibly wise decision. In fact, I would just pause and say, that's a really important decision in life for you. Don't skip this. When you go through intense times, whether it's in marriage or family, in your business, in relationships, and you accomplish something together, you got to pause to celebrate. This is part of the cycle that wins in life. Chapter 8, verse 10. And Nehemiah said, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to the Lord. Do not grieve for the joy, everybody, for the what? One more time, for the what? And now say it with joy. It can't be for the joy. You can't even say the word joy with a flat tone. For the what?
Joy.
Yeah, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. There's huge joy in leaning in on God. And when you come to accomplish, you celebrate and you say, man, God's joy was my strength. And my strength that I have is in the joy that God has in what we're doing. So literally what he's saying is, I'm going to command you to party. In fact, if you're a note taker, it says this down in your notes. The one thing he'll tell you you got to know is bring back the party. That's bring on the party. It's what it says right there in your notes. Bring on the party. You may have never thought of this as a spiritual significant thing, but it is. When you come through an intense time, then you stop and you bring on the party. And I love this because he commanded them to have joy and to enjoy. He was like, y'all are going to start smiling. You hear? That's the least way to say it. You start laughing. I'm telling you, God is loving and gracious and forgiving, and we're learning all things, kinds of things about God's way, saying in this moment, and we're about to turn and party. In fact, it describes festivals and their response to it. Verse 17, the same passage of 8, the whole company, it says, celebrated the festival, and from the days of Joshua, son of Nun, until that day, the Israelites had not celebrated it like this, and their joy was very great. We could turn over to chapter 12, and if we had the time to just read through that chapter, verse 17, the dedication of the wall, the celebration, and how they brought in Levites from around the towns in order to bring them in for the purpose of celebration and praise. We're going to praise God. We're going to celebrate. We're going to honor God. We're going to glorify God. Verse 40 describes how the two came together, the two choirs, and gave thanks, and how he was a part of that, Nehemiah and the whole. Verse 43, they describe on that day they offered great sacrifices, rejoicing, because God had given them great joy. The women and children also rejoiced. The sound of rejoicing in Jerusalem could be heard far away. You see, intensity has a moment where it hits a completion, and then you follow it with celebrate. And then the next thing you'll discover is that you follow celebrate with community. Say it with me, with what? Community. In other words, you re-enter community. Community is what they used to be invested in. Now listen, all three of these, intense, celebrate, community, all of those are happening simultaneously in your life. But in one season, intense seems to get the primary energy and effort. And another season, celebrate does. Another season, community. And all it's saying is that they came back to the ability, the freedom to primarily invest in community. So that is, come inside the walls now that we built, and we get to build community. Better, more fruitful, more rich lives together, and that becomes relationally rewarding, and to bring the outsiders in. And this is what happened from chapter 11 and following. Now, what I want you to see is this cycle is true to life experience. And Nehemiah is revealing something to us that you ought to understand, and once you do, you'll know how to do life. You'll know how to win, because this applies in business. Let me illustrate. In business, it usually starts with a couple of people or so who are in great relationship and community. And then they dream, we could go do business together. This would be awesome. This will be great. Because it's always fun and exhilarating to dream, isn't it? It's just really difficult to do. But in this phase, it's like, everything is awesome. And then you start the business. And the startup phase, what happens? You move into the intensity of delivering on it. And when you move into the intense, what you're really doing is you are emptying your tank, but you are fueling your future. See, you know you're paying a great price in order to have something worth celebrating and eventually deepen community again. You're going to do the cycle. That's the cycle of business. But when you get in intense, what goes on inside you is the cost goes up, the weariness goes up, and the relational reward goes down. You've got to know what's happening in intense, or you won't know how to read it. You'll misread what's going on and make stupid decisions and quit on what are the best things that are unfolding in your life. You got to know how to navigate intense times. You got to know how to empty your tank in order to fuel your future. We all got to have that capacity in us. And those in business who accomplish and get to the other side, they get to celebrate and they pop the proverbial cork and they toast one another. They said, oh my gosh, look what we were able to do together. And now everybody's smiling. It feels like the joy's back. And then the next thing they do is they re-enter community at a greater level and their relationships get deeper and it becomes awesome. And once you understand this cycle, you can figure out what's going on in business. Now listen, you get back to community for a while and what you discover is you have seasons of community until finally you hit your ceiling and you realize that the company's going to stall unless you re-enter intensity. And this right here is why business often stalls. I don't want to go through that again. This is true in your personal family. You meet the one you love. You fall in love. You have all these visions of princess and prince coming together. And then you tie the knot. You get married. And you're exhilarated over the dream of what life will be. You're going to have awesome business careers. And you're going to have awesome financial flow. And you're going to have children. And it's just going to be awesome. We love it when we listen to you on the way into that intense time. And then it's after the honeymoon, right? In other words, then you actually get married and you figure out the grind of starting a career and having a family. And then she gets pregnant. And what that does to a woman's body for 9 months is wrong. I mean, that's just wrong. And then giving birth, are you kidding? I watched it 4 times. I told my wife, I said, Marcia, honey, I would work 60 hours a week for 60 years and let you do nothing if you would just do that. So that would never have to be my job. If you do that, you're freed up. All women just deserve the unbelievable, oh my gosh, I cannot believe what was required of you. Yeah, you win, honey. I literally said this. So that's intense. And then you bring the little thing home and he or she wrecks your life. You're still in the intense. You got 3 months where you're asking yourself, why did I want to get married and why did I want to have a kid? You see, the cost and the weariness goes up and the relational reward goes down. But those who endure that eventually hit the celebrate, where you pop the cork and you toast and you say, oh my goodness, we exhausted ourselves. We emptied our tank, but we created our future. And then family returns and relationships go deep and you re-enter them and become rich and rewarding and enjoyable. And then you do something stupid and you get pregnant again. Because somehow you forgot what this top side of the cycle was. What is wrong with you? As I've said to myself in the mirror many times. And this, by the way, you may never know this, ever thought of this. Do you know this is true for a church? Do you know this is how church works? Let me illustrate. 12 Stone, we had about a 3 to 5 year run of just rich community, building community together and bringing the community in. But about 2 years ago, we hit the lid of what the optimal services could do in the 2 to 3 campuses that we had. And the percentage capacity, and we were done, and our ability to win in community and reach the community. And see, it's at that point where you make really difficult decisions. Do we just stay in this and stall out and eventually become about ourselves? Or do we re-enter intense? And so roughly 2 years ago, we re-entered intense. Literally, the last 16 months of 12 Stone has been the intense, where we have emptied our tank, exhausted ourselves in order to fuel our future. Maybe you've never thought about that. Maybe you're like, oh, that makes sense, because that's what we've been doing. Let me just tell you what's been going on in the last 16 months, if it's not clear. Do you know 16 months ago, we opened the Sugarloaf campus building? It was only 16 months ago. I mean, that feels like forever ago. But that and the John Maxwell Leadership Center opened 16 months ago. The Hamilton Mill new building opened up 12 months ago, just 1 year ago. That's it. On the heels of that, we launched the five campus vision, and we built over the summer. And then in the August back to school series, we were about pioneering and people signing up and shifting. And we unsettled four anchor campuses to resettle and redistribute thousands in order to launch five new campuses, birth them in rental facilities. And then we spent the whole fall in how to reset teams and build teams. And then we launched it in January and invited people in, but we redistributed and unsettled all of 12 Stone in order to be nine campuses that could begin to reach nine communities. In other words, we were exhausting ourselves over the last 16 months. And if that were not enough, then we did great and awesome right on the heels of launching the five campuses. What on earth? Because we knew that when you launch the five campuses, they cannot be in setup, tear down, rental for the next 5 to 10 years. And Great and Awesome is going to be part of the solution that provides facility solutions in the next 2 to 3 years so that they're in permanent 24/7 kind of ministry space. And we know that people, some will come to a rental facility and find God, but many will not. And it'll take those new doors opening in other buildings. So Great and Awesome is huge. So we had to do all of that. And today is the end of the Great and Awesome series. Whew. And it's been intense. And when you're in that season, as a church, people start to feel like, oh my goodness, the cost is going up and the weariness is going up and the reward is going down. But see, we do it to fuel our future, to fuel the future of returning to building community together and reaching the community around us, and now in nine territories that we get to build for the sake of God changing lives. Like the story of JD. Listen.
I was born in Louisville, Kentucky, and pretty much raised at Pope Air Force Base in North Carolina. Growing up in a military family, my father was gone a good portion of my younger years. Mom and dad were not religious people. We did not attend church, ever. I was never really taught about God. My parents divorced when I was 8. Got to choose who I stayed with my father, so I had less rules. As long as I wasn't getting in a lot of trouble, I could do whatever I wanted. I started partying at a very young age, and I stayed on that path for decades. My wife, Erin, is awesome. Her best friend and my best friend were dating. I thought she was beautiful. I thought she was funny. We started dating. About 6 months into dating, she got pregnant with our first child, Tyler. I didn't know God. Didn't have a clue. But I knew that it was important for my children to know God. There's some friends of ours in Flowery Branch that attend 12 Stone. And he just threw it out there. He's like, you guys are more than welcome to come check it out some Sunday. So I accepted their invitation. When I sat down that first time and PK came on, I truly felt like I was the only person in the room. And that he was talking to nobody but me. Can't remember exactly what service it was, but I kind of detached and was praying on my own. And I got this overwhelming feeling that I can't describe. And for the first time in my life, I cried out for help. I went and got a hold of Matt. Right after he walked off the stage, I was in tears. And I told him that I needed help. So that day I gave my life to Jesus. It's a different life than what I've known for the last 42 years. Just in the last few months, I've really started letting go and just put faith in God. My God moment at 12 Stone was when PK was preaching and I felt like I was the only one in the room.
Come on, church, that's what we celebrate, isn't it? Right there. That's it. One matters to God. And JD, that's kind of his AKA, William, he's the reason that we would go through like 16 months of intense in order to establish 9 campuses that now have space and room to reach. And we brought the campuses closer to people who are far from God. And we've now come to the end of that 16-month run, and it's been a long and demanding run. And some of you might feel like, you know what, when you say it, I kind of am weary. But you are an enduring people, 12 Stone. And God has set us up and called us together for such a time as this. And so now we get to say, all right, what's the end of that intense season? And today we're going to celebrate, and that's what today is. The close of this series, and we're going to move into a moment of celebration and just put a smile in, and we're kind of being commanded. You smile, you laugh, whoo, you breathe again, and with the close of this service and this series, we get to re-enter community. We were always about community, but we get to let that become its high priority again, and we've got the next 3-plus years in front of us as a church to begin to enjoy at a more fun, engaging level. Let me say it like this. My family calls me 2 kinds of dads. They say, we have an intense dad and a fun dad. And they often say, could you exchange the intense dad for fun dad? We'd like fun dad to show up for a little while. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And that's really what we're saying. Hey, sometimes you got your intense pastor, you got your fun pastor. I don't know. Maybe it's true in your world. But we get to come through intense, and we begin to move toward things and seasons that we love and we enjoy. And so, but first, the celebration today. So in your teaching notes, you see it laid out. You've already filled in the blank, but I want to reinforce it because this is what Nehemiah did and what he would say to us and what's important for the remainder of our teaching time. One thing you need to know, bring on the party. Bring on the what? Well, sure. 12 Stone, this is the closing of the great and awesome series. And this is the end of the intensity. And by God's grace, we've established, fueled our future, so we're in 9 locations, and we can begin to build greater community together at each of the campuses and space to bring the community in. Oh my goodness, that's an awesome thing. So you pop the cork, that's what Nehemiah did. He popped the proverbial cork, and he toasted, listen, to the glory of God and in gratitude to others, to the glory of God and in gratitude to others. Let's talk about those. In glory to God. Nehemiah was saying we didn't get here on our own. We're going to take a moment to praise God. He made sure that they put incredible effort and energy for God to be honored and glorified and that praise would be lifted up to him. Lest there be any confusion that we built the walls on our own effort. Oh, no. God gives life. God gives breath. In fact, Nehemiah would probably confess, remember, I got tired. By the way, let me just tell you something. We take no credit for anything that goes on here that's good. How could we? It's God's favor. Because we get tired. We get tired and we want to quit. I don't want you to know how many times in my private, quiet, away from you, nobody looking moments where I'm just like, oh, I just want to quit. Anybody ever want to quit something important? Anyone hands up? You ever want to quit something important? Of course you have. That's why you don't take credit when it finally works. The only thing I can write is a diary of a wimpy pastor. If you knew how many times. But then I would pray, God, give me strength. And you pray, God, give me strength. And so I'm telling you, we're going to take a moment together to praise God. And praise is huge in life. It's not just for a moment for all of us. Because when you praise, when you verbalize glory to God, it right-sizes true power and life's pressures. It right-sizes true power and life pressures. That's what praise does. Let me say it this way. When you neglect praise, you know what happens? When you neglect praise, your problems become bigger than they are, and God becomes smaller than he is. Listen very carefully. When you neglect praise, Your problems get bigger than they are, and God gets smaller than he is. Maybe you don't know this, so I'll tell you. When you implement and practice a habit of praise, that is what right-sizes things every day in life. In the midst of pressure, if you will praise God, God becomes as large as he is, and your problems shrink back down to smaller than God. It's the power of praise. What really happens is, in that moment, true power is recognized against small false power. No wonder that the angels, when Jesus was born, God in human flesh came to earth, they said, recorded in Luke 2, glory to God in the highest heavens and peace on earth on whom his favor rests. Do you understand what that statement was making? Listen, when God showed up on earth, God in human flesh, the angels told us literally what we should do. They showed up praising God. Glory to God in the highest and peace on whom his favor rests. Literally what it means to us is this. When you glorify the highest power, you get the highest peace. Changes your life. It's why we give glory to God. So the real party is for the souls of mankind because of what God did for us, and only God gets the glory. And so we're going to take a moment together as a church, and we're going to glorify God. And I know this may seem a little bit strange in the way we're going to do it, but everybody get their Martinellis, okay? Everybody in the room, get their Martinellis. Do your best not to spill it, but this is part of this experience. And this is perhaps one of our more significant moments here together. So if you would grab your Martinellis, and there's a red tab, pull the red tab off. Then you have a napkin there, and the purpose of the napkin is to put it over the top and then to carefully twist it off in case it's shaken and all the bubbles spill over, the napkin will absorb it. And now you should have your Martinellis in hand. And with your Martinellis in hand, we're going to offer an appropriate praise, a moment of honoring God. So everybody got their Martinellis in hand? You can hold it up. And I'm going to read a section from Nehemiah chapter 9, verses 5 to 6, where they took a moment to praise God. They celebrated him. And here's what it says right at the beginning. Stand up and praise the Lord your God, who is from everlasting to everlasting. That's exactly what we should do. I know it's inconvenient, but we're going to stand for this. I know, just set your stuff, Bible, everything to the side. Keep focused. Here's literally how it starts. Stand up and praise the Lord your God, who is from everlasting to everlasting. And now let me read this as a toast to our God, and then we'll tap glasses carefully and take a sip. Blessed be your glorious name, O God, and may it be exalted above all blessing and praise. You alone are the Lord. You made the heavens, even the highest heavens, and all their starry hosts, the earth and all that is in it, the seas and all that is in them. You give life to everything, and the multitudes of heaven worship you. So to you, our Father who loves us, to our Lord Jesus, who redeems us, to the Holy Spirit, who empowers us, who has made possible this journey from Sugarloaf to Hamilton Mill to five campuses to great and awesome. You alone, O God, are great and awesome. Cheers to our great and awesome God. Cheers to our great and awesome God. Say that with me. What? Cheers to our great and awesome God. Again, cheers to our great and awesome God. And you tap a glass with a neighbor or two and take a sip. Thanks be to our God. There's none like him. Yeah, church? Oh, yeah. And with that, you can have a seat because we're not done. Some of you are used to guzzling at this moment. Some of you are looking for the worm at the bottom of the bottle. It's not there. This is an anointed drink. Now go apply this personally, men and women. Listen to me carefully. Keep your bottle because we've got more to do. You need to stop during the day when pressure builds, and you need to stop and praise God. I'm telling you, if you don't understand the power of this, you pause in the midst of your pressure and you praise God, and it will right size your life. Nothing resettles your soul like getting the true power in place for true perspective in life. It's powerful. Go practice it. Because what you choose to celebrate will define you. Now, I think when Nehemiah led them to glorify God, I think he did something else. He offered gratitude to others. I don't know it. I don't have a detail to prove that Nehemiah wrote thank you notes, but I think he would have. I think he's that kind of leader. I think Nehemiah would have stopped and said, you know what? We got here not on our own, not just by the kindness and the mercy of God, which is amazing, but there are people who've taken major roles. And I think Nehemiah would have taken a moment to write some thank you notes and sent them along to some key people. And I'm telling you, I probably spent more effort in this than you can imagine. Sensed it before the Lord that it would be pleasing that we take a moment and let me extend thanks to you. Three thank you notes to three specific people. If you are in this group, I hope you'll receive it. Bottles up. And this thank you note is a toast to you. If you are a faithful giver, let me read. 12 Stone serves untold thousands of people without ever having to beg for money. That's unheard of in the realm of church. And it's because of you, the faithful givers, you get the first thank you note. You give sacrificially, consistently, and wholeheartedly. You don't get talked about. You don't get elevated. But we would not be here without you. All that we celebrate has been built on your faithfulness to give out of your love for Jesus. And great and awesome is not new for you. You've been through many such seasons, and you keep giving. You are relentlessly generous. And though you would not demand recognition or appreciation, I believe God would toast your giving heart. And we as a church would like to say thank you. Cheers to the faithful givers. Tap your glasses. Take a sip or two. I wrote these and I wept as I wrote them, and so I practiced so I wouldn't when I got here. It's not working. Second, the servant-hearted. Bottles up. You have joined Jesus with your authentic love for the Father and love for people. You serve with such an unselfish heart. You wipe baby bottoms, play with willful two-year-olds, pour into children, invest in students, direct cars, welcome all, serve behind the scenes or in front of the crowds. You serve inside and outside 12 Stone with great compassion. You stop for the stranded person and you help the one in need. You are more than what we do. You embody who we are. You are the servant-hearted, and you do so with such grace that I would write you the second thank you note. And I believe God would toast your serving hands, and we as a church want to say thank you. Cheers to the servant-hearted. Tap glasses. We're so grateful for you. I know you don't get celebrated around here like you ought, but I'm telling you, you make a huge difference among us. I hope you let God encourage you through that. Finally, the pioneer. 12 Stone was born out of a pioneer spirit to reach spiritually lost people with the love of Jesus. And each time another campus gets born, I marvel at you, the pioneers. You are the toughest territory-taking people I know. You unsettle your lives to birth a campus. You take on the silent but difficult burden of set up and tear down, imperfect places, and young rising leaders. You are undaunted, uncompromising, devoted disciples of Jesus. You endure hardship. You believe the best in tough times. You invite in hopes of people finding Jesus. You grab a shovel and you wield the sword. You are the heroes of 12 Stone. You have birthed 8 more campuses, and we've grown 8 times since. Not because we have the best facilities, but because we have the best people. And I believe God would toast your enduring spirit as a kingdom entrepreneur. And we as a church say thank you. Cheers to the pioneers. Pioneers, thank you. We're so grateful to you. Yeah, church, we know how beautiful, how gracious that gift is. Thank you. Thank you to the pioneers. Now, for those of you who have been waiting for the opportunity to guzzle the rest of your Martinellis, now is the time. careful, it'll come back on you often. Then one thing you need to do, once you know you need to bring on the party, then what you need to do is bring back the community. Bring back the what, church? Community. And in other words, post-celebration, then Nehemiah said, okay, now here's what we're going to do. In fact, chapter 11 on, what you read is, we're now going to build community. We get to re-enter community. We're going to build rich and meaningful relationships and fruitful relationships with one another, and we're going to bring the outsiders in. Hey, that's what a local church does. That's what we exist for. And we get to go do this in such a more meaningful, fun, engaging way as a church. It's kind of like a sweet comeback to community. Now that we have the 9 campuses settled in 9 territories, now we get to put our primary emphasis, and you'll feel it on the weekends, you'll feel it in the experience, and it's really kind of a fun season to be in. And we got the next 3 years at least to go do that. And we say, man, this is a sweet comeback for community. And then we thought, hey, we start brainstorming. What is the sweetest comeback in the last 10 years? What's the greatest comeback? Back in the last 10 years. We put it out on our social media, and we said, anybody who can get it right, we will reward. And somebody on Instagram got it right. Here's what they sent in.
We won't be there, but we think it's
Twinkies.
That's right, Twinkies. Sweetest comeback. Hey, if you didn't watch the media a couple years ago when the Twinkies went out and then the Twinkies came back, it's all part of the smile of most of our childhood and our life, and it's come back. If you didn't see the media, here is one of the stories from it. Check it out.
Yes, the iconic golden sponge cake is officially back on the market.
Twinkie Armageddon broke out in November when Hostess closed its doors, but now the Twinkie is back. It's on the shelves, and this is the very first batch to hit U.S. stores. Walmart scarfed down the exclusive 3 days before competitors. Cheers.
It's like I remember. It's good.
That's one sweet comeback.
It is.
Next, a little Twinkie trivia. When was the Twinkie invented? Do you happen to know by chance? Any idea?
Probably back in the 40s, 30s.
Money, good job. 1930.
There you go.
What's the shelf life of a Twinkie?
Next to forever.
No, it's actually not.
The new version does serve up a longer shelf life, 45 days instead of 2 weeks. But fanatics say their love for this.
Yeah! Twinkie the kid
has no expiration.
So how can we talk about it and not deliver? So at the dismissal of the church, there are Twinkies, thousands of them, in the lobby. You'll be able to grab a bottle of water, a Twinkie, or how many loved Ho-Hos? Yeah, those are out there too. How about the chocolate cupcakes? Those snowballs, anybody remember those? They're all out there. It is party time. On the way out, you toast each other with a nasty snack. It'll be awesome. Even as we go back to kind of this community, you'll sense it in the weekend series, and you see that on the front of the bulletin, it summarizes the upcoming series, but a suggestion on the inside, everybody take and open the inside of the bulletin. I'll even take some input from you, and the teaching pastors will, for the coming year. See, as we make some move back to what we're going to call moving from intense dad to fun dad, you might have some ideas, and I'll take these with me on my study break this summer, June and July. You might have an idea. What one question would you like PK to answer? Jot it down. Grab your pen right now. Say, oh, I've always wished you would answer this in some of the weekends this coming year. Good. That'll help me. What one subject would you like PK to address? And you might have a subject. Just fill it in. You may not. Maybe you'll answer the third one. What one Bible passage would you like PK to unpack? See, I'm going to take all of your answers. You'll just attach it and put it in the offering basket today. I'm going to take it with me on my study break, and that's going to help guide. We're just going to have some fun this year and get into God's Word. It's going to be an awesome time. Also, you might want to give some input for the Back to School August series. Look at it, bottom left. What if we, on August, Back to School series, did a series around our love-hate relationship with rules. With what? Rules. Yeah, because nobody likes rules, unless they're ours. Every sports has rules. The equivalent of refs. Every sport. Rules, think about it. Rules govern your buying and your selling. Rules regulate our roadways and our school hallways. They're everywhere. Parents declare, my house, my rules. And many view the Bible as just a book of rules. We are going to have a life-changing series on the subject of rules, but look to the right of it. How would you title it? I know we're going to be inviting people. Oh, man, I think we should title it this way. One option is Rules Don't Apply, or My Life, My Rules, or you might have a better one. Jot it down. You're going to help us set it for August. Now, of course, as we lead into it, we've got the June series on Renovate, and then Game Changers in July, and then this series in August, and part of the fun of all this is you're going to place it in the offering, and that's going to help, and I'm going to take it with me on my study break. Most of you know that every summer, it kind of is the time when I reflect on what God's done in the year before. I take a study break. It's how I prepare for literally the year series ahead. I do study, I do background, I pick series, I lay it out, we do some leadership planning stuff. I'm usually gone for about 6 weekends where you don't have to listen to me teach while I'm doing the behind the scenes work, and then we get a little bit of family vacation. Once every four years, and this will be the once every 4 years, I get an extended time, a couple of extra weeks for a bit of an epic trip. 4 years ago, I did Route 66 on my motorcycle. That was fun. This year, the family is going to do Yellowstone. We've never done that as a family, so we're going to take a trip to Yellowstone. We're going to have fun with that. If you want to keep up with it, you just get on our Facebook and you can follow along, and we'll keep you up on the trip. And it gives Kevin Queen the opportunity to do his own series, which I know you would love me to let him do more often, but I'm not going to. But nonetheless, it'll be awesome because he's doing the series on Renovate, and that's just going to be powerful. So while you turn in this response to series and input, I'm going to turn the service over to the campus pastors. But while I do, we're doing more than just responding with series ideas. This is the great and awesome moment to honor God. And these intention cards were made available to you during our great and awesome vision chats, the conversations many of you, thousands of you were in. We talked about this on May 17th. And many of you said on May 17th, would you give us time to May 31st. So everyone just grab it. This isn't for guests, but I don't want you to feel odd. So everybody can grab this out of the Bible. I think it's sitting in the front of your Bible. Just everyone sitting in the front of your Bible. Put one out so nobody feels awkward, and it sits in front of everybody, okay? The card sits in front of everybody. And this goes in the offering today. And many of you said, would you give us a moment today? And I'm going to honor what I said I would do. You fill out the left side intention card, name, blah, blah, information. On the right-hand side, you fill in the details. In other words, it's simply this as we talked. And as you've been praying, because you've had the last couple of weeks to pray about it, and then the commitment to say yes to God. And then on the top right hand, you kind of give what your present giving. Some of you are just going to make, do I have to fill all that out? No, you can just write the same or tithe or whatever your present pattern of giving is. And then you just put on the bottom, plus whatever you're going to give the next couple of years. So I'm going to continue my present pattern, and then Great and Awesome gets this additional. Some people, it's going to be nothing. If that's okay, you put zero and turn in the card because you're still part of what God's doing. What your present giving counts, and if God told you to give nothing in addition, don't give anything. If it's a buck, it's a buck. If you say, man, we're just going to give some eating out money every week, and we spend $20, we're going to give $1,000 each year, $2,000, then you put plus $2,000 at the bottom in addition. Great. Or maybe God's asked something major of you. Then you go. You whatever God asks. And just above that, it says, what do you give for the May 31st, which is today, stored resources. And so today, my family is giving our first offering to Great and Awesome, and so can you. Many of you prepared for it. We've already done it online, easiest, best way to give, but that was part of our card commitment. So everyone giving who calls 12 Stone Home is returning this card today. You just detach this little tab on the right, and when you do, you fold it in half, and that seals it, and that makes it private, and you place it in the offering. It's a great day for us, church. And I'm going to let the campus pastors now lead us into prayer. And we'll take that moment for prayer right now here in the room. Bow your heads with me, would you please? Father, what a day for us to just enjoy you, enjoy each other. What a smile you put on our face. I pray, God, that this cycle that you taught us from Nehemiah would give us insight into our business. Maybe it'll awaken things that we're navigating in our family. Certainly it applies to our church. Thanks, God, for bringing us through intense season. We praise you. We give you glory. Thanks for the moment to celebrate and party today. And I pray that you would make these next seasons of 12 Stones so rich relationally as we grow together and as we bring the community in these 9 locations. God, how powerful and beautiful it is to be positioned like that. How we bring the kingdom and the Jesus story of love to the world. We fix our eyes on you, Jesus. And we want to bring you to the hearts of people. Bring them to you across these 9 campuses. May it be mighty for your sake. But now, God, may these moments be pleasing to you. As all of us who call this place home take a card and say, you know what, God, I'm going to be a part of the great and awesome vision. I'm going to do my part. Doesn't matter what anybody else does, God, I'm going to do my part. However little or small it seems, I'm doing my part. I thank you, God, for those who have prayed and asked, God, what do you want me to do? And maybe they don't have anything clear. Maybe they just say, I believe this is my best guess of what you want me to do, God. And God, this being offered to you right now is a sacrifice pleasing to you. So receive it. Be honored in it. And now encourage us, God, because some of us are in discouraging places. Some of us feel like we're in the intense season, maybe in our marriage, maybe in our family, maybe in our work. And we need help and strength to endure. Maybe some of us are breathing a sigh of relief. Oh, God, I get a little time to breathe this summer. Thank you, Jesus. But God, may you continue to knit us together and raise us up for your kingdom. And we'll give you all the glory, for you're the only one worthy. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. And now the offering is going to be received. You get to place your response cards that have to do with the teaching series. You just drop that in. That'll come to me. Pull it off. You have your intent cards for great and awesome. You can just put those in the offering. Now, while the offering happens, I've got the feeling that God is very pleased over this moment and day of celebration. I really do. I've got the feeling that God is smiling on us because we're saying yes to God. I've got the feeling that God would like to pour fresh joy on us. I'd receive it, wouldn't you? I got the feeling that Pastor Hugh Pope, who is a Southern pastor who's passed away but was the core of launching 12 Stone, and he was the district superintendent, he would talk into Southern Draw, and he'd say, Kevin. And when he'd talk, he'd tell me, I got the feeling that God has greater things in the days ahead. And there's something about when he does it, man. I got the feeling when he got the feeling. You know what I'm talking about? In fact, I got the feeling that we ought to party while the offering's being taken. And once the basket is passed, you'll want to. Cameron, have you got the feeling? Come on.